This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fahuwa al-muhtad wa man yudlil falan tajida lahu waliyal murshida. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu salawatullahi wa salamun alayk. Qala Allahu azza wa jal. القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. As we begin to approach the month of Ramadan, now about 5 weeks away, 5.5 weeks away, we begin to start our focus. We begin to solidify our objective on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through one of the most pinnacle of all conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we like to call dua. What are our du'as as we approach the holy month of Ramadan? What are we going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this year? What are the conversations we're going to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The word dua, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, the dua is the essence of worship. That if a person is able to perform their dua with ihsan, with excellence, with sincerity, it is the absolute pinnacle of your worship. Because dua is found within everything. Dua is found within your salah. Dua is found even when you give your sadaqah and your zakah. Dua is found within your hajj and umrah, and dua undoubtedly will be found within your days of fasting in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said famously in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, he said that if any of you asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him for all of your needs. Ask him for everything that you can think of. حَاجَتَهُ كُلَّهَا حَتَّى يَسْأَلَ شِسْعَ النَّعْلِهِ إِذَا أَنْقَطَعَ. He said, ask even if your shoe, if the shoestring from your shoe tears or breaks, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a replacement of it. This is the detailed nuance of dua. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous sahabi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and one of the most famous narrations in the Arba'een of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, the 40 famous hadith of Imam An-Nawawi, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day. Me and him were close together, one another. We were right behind one another. Some narrations mention that they were even on the same animal and they were riding. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Ya Ghulam, O my beloved son, O my young beloved, you know, family member, he said, let me, inni u'allimuka kalimatin, let me teach you, let me inform you, let me tell you about a couple of words that are very, very profound. Let me teach you about something that you can remember. The ulama, they say when the Prophet mentions kalimatin, he means that something that is not too difficult for Abdullah ibn Abbas to memorize. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, at this time in his life, was a very, very young man. He was around 12 or 13 years of age. And so he says, let me teach you something beautiful. And he says, احفظ الله يحفظك. He says, preserve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve you. And now everyone is thinking to themselves, what does it mean to preserve Allah? Because a'udhu billah, we have no way that we can do anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not already do for himself. So what does it mean to preserve Allah? In this hadith, preserving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to preserve the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take care of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his haqq, his due diligence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Not one person takes care of another person in the exact same way that another person will. The way that a parent will take care of a child is different from the way that that child may take care of their parent, right? A few months ago, I was telling my daughter Aya, I said, go, she calls her great-grandmother Amma. I said, go take care of Amma. My grandmother, alhamdulillah, is 93 years old and Aya is 2.5. What can a 2.5-year-old do to take care of a 93-year-old? But what she did was she went and she held her Amma's hand and walked with her. This is her way of taking care of her. This is her way of honoring her great-grandmother. So the Prophet teaches Ibn Abbas, he says, preserve Allah and Allah will preserve you. And then he says, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. He says, and be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preserve your rights, preserve the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you in every step of the way. Everything that you do, Allah azza wa jal will be with you. And one of the commentaries of this hadith is beautiful, because the scholar, he says that your life progresses forward. You continue to move forward. Wouldn't you love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you on every step of the way? That you do not neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in your rearview mirror. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you as you progress through the timeline of life. And then he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلَ اللَّهَ. If you ask, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first before anyone else. Get it into your mind. If you have anything that you need, anything that you're in a dire need of, that you need to ask for, begin to exercise and practice the tradition of reaching out to Allah before anybody else. This does not mean, by the way, that you can't reach out to a human, a friend, or a person that you seek as a mentor or counselor for help when you need it. It means that you appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who put that person in your life in the first place. If it wasn't for Allah azza wa jal, you wouldn't have an older brother to rely upon. If it wasn't for Allah Azza wa Jal, you wouldn't have a mother or a father to seek counsel in. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't even have the money to go seek medical aid from your PCP that you have in your life, the doctor that you have in your life. It all ties back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you need any sort of help, then first and foremost, you seek that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you alone that we worship, and you alone that we seek aid and help in. This is the principle of dua, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our first option, not option two or three or four. And during this khutbah today, I wanted to highlight one of the du'as of the anbiya, one of the du'as of the Prophet, of one of the Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Prophet's story is so decorated in the Qur'an. It is so illustrious, it is so legendary in the Qur'an that a lot of the du'as that we ourselves actually incorporate into our own personal du'as come from his own tradition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted his account in several different surahs in the Qur'an. But in this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights a moment in his life in which he was traveling from Madian back to Egypt, because he was missing his mother and his brother. He wanted to go back home to his family. And so when Musa alayhi salam was traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly through wahi in the Qur'an. And he says, أَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Has the story of Musa reached you, Ya Rasulullah? By the way, this is a beautiful kind of example of how personal the Qur'an should be. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Allah is talking first person to the Prophet ﷺ. So when we as the reader, we read the Qur'an, and we know the شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. So when you open up the Qur'an, don't read it as like a third person text. Read it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to you directly. And so he says, Ya Rasulullah, did you hear the story of Musa? And in this story of Musa, Musa is traveling in a very dark evening. And some of the narrations mention that it was very cold. It was a difficult travel. It was a difficult safar. And along this way, Musa went with his family and his children. And Musa alayhi salam, it says, إِذْ رَآ نَارًا. He saw a fire from afar. And he tells his own family, he says, فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى. He says, let me go to this fire. Let me go find out what this fire is so that I might seek some sort of aid from it, or maybe it'll provide us some sort of guidance. And as Musa gets closer and closer to this fire, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَا يَا مُوسَى. When he came close, Nudiya ya Musa, Musa was summoned. He was called by someone. And at this point, who was the caller? The Quran, it mentions, Inni ana rabbuka fakhla'na alayka innaka bilwadi al-muqaddas tuwa. This voice that is reaching out to Musa alayhi salam is not the voice of a person. It's not the voice of an angel. It's not the voice of, you know, a family member. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some riwayats that mention that at this point, when Musa alayhi salam, he heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, are you communicating with me through some sort of medium? You know how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the word of Allah ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam. There was a medium there. So Musa asked, Ya Allah, is there someone who is communicating through you to me? And the narration mentions that Allah Ta'ala responds, Ya Musa, it is only you and me right now. I want you to imagine the scene. I want you to imagine what a moment like that would feel like. A lot of people think about what would Allah sound like when it came to this conversation with Musa. And some of the narrations mention that Musa alayhi salam, he didn't just hear Allah Ta'ala with his ears. He heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his soul. He felt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him. And he says, Ya Musa, you are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. So take off your shoes. You're about to enter a sacred ground. And here he says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. He says, Ya Musa, I have chosen you. So listen, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen carefully. By the way, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. For us, it translates out to, listen to what has been revealed, the Qur'an. When the Qur'an is being recited, what is our behavior? How do we react? Is it just kind of, you know, white noise in the background as we do our other tasks? No. The Qur'an is not a podcast you listen to. The Qur'an is not just some sort of background noise that you put on when you're doing other things. No. The Qur'an is something that is meant to be engaged with. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. When it is being recited, when the revelation is coming to you, فَاسْتَمِعْ. You listen and you listen attentively. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. He says, it is me, Allah, Ya Musa. Don't worship anyone but me. Establish your salah لِذِكْرِي. So that you may remember me, Ya Musa. You're starting to see the pieces of the puzzle of Islam coming together. Pray for what? لِذِكْرِي. So that you may remember me. Take a break, Ya Musa. Take a break. And pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say one time famously, As-salat mi'raj al-mu'min. He said that the prayer is the ascension of the believer. When the believer engages in their salah, they feel like nothing else in the world matters at that moment. In a way, it's their own mi'raj. It's their own ascension. It's their own way of leaving their troubles of the dunya and engaging with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Allah has only given this blessing to those who truly believe in Him. What a blessing. And Allah at this moment is communicating back and forth with Musa. Ya Musa, inna sa'ata atiyatun. The hour is coming, Ya Musa. And then what he does one after the other, he tells Musa alayhi salam, Ya Musa, do this. Wama tilka biyaminika, Ya Musa. What is in your right hand, Ya Musa? And Musa says, Ya Allah, it is my staff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Musa, qala alqiha, Ya Musa. Throw it down, Ya Musa. And Musa throws it down and it begins to swerve and turn like a snake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La takhaf, Ya Musa. Don't be scared, O Musa. This is Allah. Even if you feel scared, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here taking care of you. So even through your fears, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here taking care of you. Any emotion that you feel, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Whether you are happy, sad, angry, anxious, Allah ta'ala is with you because Allah ta'ala is the one who allowed you to have these feelings in the first place. And then he asks Musa, Ya Musa, put your right hand underneath your arm and it will come out glowing white, بِغَيْرِ السُّوءِ. Without any sort of disease or any sort of harm to it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya Musa, لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى. He says, Ya Musa, I'm doing this for you to show you some of our most greatest signs, Ya Musa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His ask. Allah at this moment has given Musa miracle after miracle, sign after sign. And at this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Oh Musa, I have one thing that I need you to do. اذهب إلى فرعون. Go towards the Pharaoh. إنه طغى. He has become a tyrant in the land that he was given responsibility over, Ya Musa. How many people in here, think to yourselves, have gone through any moment in which you feel the task is too much for you? There's no way that I can do this. I have no idea how I'm supposed to accomplish the task or the command that has been given to me. It's out of my pay grade. It's out of my scope. There's no way I can do this. There's no way I can succeed in this task. I'm telling you right now, Musa alayhi salam felt the same way for a moment. The relationship between Fir'aun and Musa is one of complex nature. This man wanted to kill him when he knew that he was born. And then through the miracle of Allah Ta'ala, he was floated into his own kingdom and picked up by the one woman who he could not say no to. His own wife, Asiya. Raised in his own palace. Grown to be a young man. Then splitting up a fight between two people. Accidentally killing one of them. Fir'aun wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam because he did something like this. Without any sort of due process. So Musa runs away. And he flees to an area called Madian. There he meets his wife and his father-in-law, who allows him to work there for 10 to 12 years. And now Musa wants to go back home, and Allah Ta'ala is saying, "Idhab ila Fir'auna, ya Musa." Now you need to go and confront Fir'aun. You know, like sometimes when you go back to a certain place and you're trying to avoid that one person, just trying to get your job done and trying to get out of that thing. Musa alayhi salam is trying to go see his mom and his brother, and he wants to avoid Fir'aun like a plague. I want to go undetected, invisibility cloak on. I don't want to even think about that guy. Allah Ta'ala says, "Idhab ila Fir'aun ya Musa." And at this moment, Musa alayhi salam comes up with one of the most greatest du'as that we find in the Quran. And this du'a, by the way, is a du'a that I like to call the du'a of anyone who thinks that a task is too big for them. That the moment is too big for them. What is the du'a? The du'a is, Rabbi shrah li sadri. He begins by saying, "Ya Rabbi, Rabbi, ishrah li sadri." He says, "Oh Allah, expand for me, ishrah li sadri. Expand for me my chest. I think in my own mind that my potential is limited. Allah, expand my potential for me." This is the same type of blessing that Allah Ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Have we not expanded your chest, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" So Musa asks for the same blessing. "Oh Allah, allow my chest to be expanded, to be filled with bravery, to be filled with the ability to do what you ask me to do. Filled with knowledge and sincerity. Rabbi shrah li sadri." Anytime you feel nervous, you touch your heart, you touch your chest, and you feel that heart pounding. You feel yourself getting anxious and nervous. It may be for an interview. It may be for the first day of work. It may be for the first day of school. It may be for a big moment where you're asked to present something. It may be a big meeting between you and somebody else that you're nervous about. You feel that heart pounding? Ask Allah, "Rabbi shrah li sadri, ya Allah." Then Allah will allow your chest to expand and your heart to calm. "Wayassir li amri." He says, "Oh Allah, make the command, the task you have given me, wayassir li. Make it easy for me, ya Allah." You know, there's a misunderstanding sometimes that if I'm going to be a religious person, I have to take the hardest route. I have to make the hardest choice. I have to go the hardest way. I can't ask for ease. I have to go through difficulty in order for something to be religiously sound. And this proves right here that that's not true. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease because Allah ta'ala is the only one who's able to give you absolute ease in your life. When you ask Allah for shifa, you don't ask for shifa that is subpar. You ask for shifa kamilan. You ask for perfect shifa, perfect health, perfect recovery. You don't ask for afia that is subpar or mediocre. You ask for complete afia. You ask for wellness in every sort of way possible. So he says, "Wayassir li amri." And then Musa says something profound. He says, "Wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani." He says, "Ya Allah, untie the knot that is upon my tongue." This, by the way, for Musa alayhi salam, was not just metaphorical, it was physical. that there were tendencies where Musa, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he was given something very lofty, he became nervous, and sometimes he would struggle with the words that were coming out of his mouth. And so he felt that sometimes there's a knot in my tongue, that I cannot untie myself, Ya Allah, because I get nervous and I stumble over my words. And when I'm going to Fir'aun, I have a tall task ahead of me. I don't have the choice of messing my words up. I have to be very clear. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَا اللَّهِ Untie the knot in my tongue. If you're ever nervous speaking about something, saying the truth is not always easy. We shy sometimes when it comes to the truth. If you have the urge to speak the truth in front of other people, we had the chance to do it for years now, alhamdulillah. Specifically the past year and a half when it came to Gaza and continued on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to free the people of Gaza. Speak the truth. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to untie that knot that's preventing you from speaking clearly. But you know why what Musa was asking for was sincere? Because he says, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي So that they may understand what I say, Ya Allah. He didn't say, وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي So that they may call me a good speaker. They may call me a profound orator. They may call me a good, communicator, so that they may call me somebody who knows what he's saying and a knowledgeable person and a righteous person. He says, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي يَا اللَّهِ So that they may understand what I say, Allah. Because what I am trying to say to them is directly tied to what you have tasked me with. This is Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salam is illustrating what it means to engage in dua in a way that is meaningful and also personal. He's engaging with Allah in a way where he addresses his own fears. He addresses his own stress. He addresses his own setbacks even. He addresses his own kind of anxieties. But at the same time, he never once denies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I'm going to do what you have asked me to do. I'm here for you, Ya Allah. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. This is dua mixed with tawakkul on a level that is prophetic. And as we mentioned in the beginning, the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the very end of the hadith, after he talks about, fasta'in billah, if you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that if the entire world were to gather and to try to do you some sort of benefit, yanfa'uka, they would not be able to benefit you unless it was kataballahu alayk. It was written for Allah, it was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. And the opposite is also true. If they all got together to bring you some sort of harm, they would not be able to harm you unless kataballahu alayk, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written it for you. And at the very end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفُ He says that the pens have been lifted. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ The pens have been lifted and the pages, وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفُ The pages have now dried. I'll end, brothers and sisters, with one profound hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, that la yaruddu al-qada illa ad-du'a. He said there is nothing that can prevent qadr or qada, divine decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa ad-du'a, except your du'a. Think about rufi'at al-aqlam wa jaffat al-suhuf. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Think about how set in stone that statement sounds. There's no changing it. It's written, it's done. But then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, nothing can change qadr or qada illa du'a, except du'a. So now, what maqam do you think that du'a has in our lives? Just reach your hands out and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people of du'a. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who make du'a sincerely. And we ask Allah ta'ala to accept all of our du'a. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. بسم الله والحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن شاء الله, I'm going to end this khutbah with a statement of Abu Darda رضي الله تعالى عنه. Abu Darda رضي الله تعالى عنه, one time he says, ذروة الإيمان أربع. He said that the pinnacle of إيمان أربع are four things. He says, الصبر للحكم. He says, patience with the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being patient with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you to do. Be patient during it. Number two, he says, وَرِضَى بِالْقَدَرِ. And pleasure with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed for you in your life. Be pleased with it. If Allah has given you some setbacks, own those setbacks. Work with those setbacks. Okay? وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَدْرِ وَالْإِخْلَاصُ وَالْتَوَكُّلُ. Sincerity and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three. And then number four, he says, وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِرَبِّي. He said, and submitting oneself to their master, their creator. These four things are the pinnacle of ذُرْوَةُ iman, the pinnacle of iman. And if you look at this, you will find, and inshallah, it's a little bit of a homework actually. If everyone can go back after this khutbah is over and reread the dua of Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha, you'll find all four of these within that dua. These four elements will be found within that one singular dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people of ikhlas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people of iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people of ihsan. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللهم إنك عفوا كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفوا كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفوا كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.